Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday, the 12th day of April, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest world agricultural supply and demand estimates. It shows another 25 million bushels on the tally for corn at the end of the year here in the United States, now at 1.862 billion bushels. Soybeans were down 15 million at 445 million bushels for the ending stocks, and wheat up 10 million at 976 million. That puts the average cash sale price to the farmer for each of those crops now at $3.55 for corn, soybeans $8.75, and wheat on its midpoint at $4.95 a bushel. We'll talk about these numbers and so much more during the Closing Market Report today. We'll be joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and also get an update of the latest crop progress figures from the Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota state statisticians, along with an update of the weather forecast from Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit rallied late, up 6 cents at $3.62¾. July at $3.65½, up 5¾. And December corn, $3.74¼, up 5½ cents. March contract up 5½ at $3.84. Soy complex, May beans, $9.36¼, 8 higher. July at $9.44¾, up 8. And November beans at $9.47¾, 7 higher. January 7 cents higher at $9.51¾. Bean meal at $2.85.10, up $5 for the day. And the bean oil at $33.69, 21 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat, $4.52½, up 5¼. July at $4.58¾, 4½ higher. And the hard red July at $4.57½, up 3¼ cents. Live cattle futures for the day, April contract down 67½ at $133.40. June at $122.75, down 47½, and feeder cattle April contract 155.10, 45 cents lower. May down $1.25 at $151 even. Lean hogs per 100 pounds April contract $66.62½, up 27½. The May, however, down 32½ at $75.07. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILLAG.org.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. May futures in the crude oil are $1.80 higher at $42.16. Ethanol futures at $1.51¹, a penny and a half higher for the day. The wholesale price of gasoline, the RBOB, at $1.53¹ is 2¹ cents higher, and diesel fuel higher as well, up 6¹ cents at $1.27¹ per gallon. Natural gas at $2, a penny and 9¢, a dime and 7¢ higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,635, up 162 points. The U.S. dollar at 93.94, it's down 0.002. And gold futures at $1,258.50, $1.80 higher. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says sunny skies today, a high of 53 and a northeast wind at 6 to 8. It's beautiful outside this afternoon. Tonight, patchy frost after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, a low of 33. East winds this evening. About 4% otherwise sunny with a high of 59 degrees, east southwest, east winds at 6 to 8. Wednesday clear with a low of 39 degrees and an east wind at 7 miles an hour, and Thursday sunny skies and 65 degrees, east southeast winds at 7 to 11. On Thursday evening, mostly clear, a low of 45. Friday sunny with a high of 68 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 49. Saturday, mostly clear and a low of 50. Sunday, sunny skies and 73. And on Sunday night, partly cloudy and 53. We'll start the work week with partly sunny skies next Monday and a high of 71. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's first start with the USDA numbers this morning. What did you make of the WASD figures? Did they show changes that surprised you?
No, not really, Todd. I think that, they dropped the feed and residual usage corn and raised the ethanol, and it was just a 25 million bushel change there. That was not anything that was too shocking along the way and didn't change much. I mean, as we looked at over all the numbers, as we say things, there wasn't much to push the market one way or another as far as these go. You know, we saw some dips in. We didn't see the dip in the Brazilian corn. We'd seen the private estimates, Brazilian corn and the Argentine make up for it. But as far as the report itself, it was pretty ho-hum.
Yeah, so the report, just a reminder to folks, I've given them numbers once, but as a reminder, corn ending stocks up 25 million now, the corn at 1.845 billion by the time we get to the fall of this year, soybeans 454 million expected in the bin. That's 15 million less than last month, and 977 million for the wheat. That would be up 10 million. The season's average cash price for each of those corn, $3.55. That's what's expected to be paid for, paid to the farmer at the cash level. Soybean at $8.75 and wheat at $4.95. Now, the real action actually came, I think, at the end of the day. Was it all about corn in Brazil and an import tariff that they're thinking about getting rid of?
Well, I think, you know, the Brazil, number one, they're thinking that the safrinha crop could be as much as 7 to 10 million metric tons less because of being planted late and maybe some of the moisture that doesn't come along, and also maybe too wet in parts of Argentina along the way. There's, you know, talk about some VAT taxes coming off besides that. But basically, in the last 7 minutes of the day today, we saw corn and beans rally quite a bit off their lows, Todd, and it was coming back on, I think, like I said, news of shrinking and more taxes coming off some of the stuff in South America.
Yeah, so we were looking at that and thinking, hey, what really is happening there? But that was good news at the end of the day, that futures rallied just a bit, and there wasn't much change in the WASD. Do you expect much in the way of follow-through on what happened there? I know at the end of the day that rally surprised quite a few folks, and maybe there might be some follow-through, but I don't know whether it shows up in the marketplace anywhere yet or not. Huh?
Well, I think that, you know, basically it was a technically strong close after the numbers, because the report didn't really move things, and we did dip down, and we come back and close basically on our highs there in the beans, and, and the highs are close enough to the highs in the corn that we are keeping a positive attitude. You know, as we look at the front month's corn, we've only traded 30 days in the last 5 years under 350, and basically we haven't traded there since late August this year on the lead month as far as the corn goes. So, you know, a good strong close there, keeping us 13 cents away from it, also sort of says that we're bouncing off that bottom pretty well.
Yeah, so as you look forward and you think about what producers ought to be doing at this point, I suppose over the last couple, 2 or 3 months, most of our traders would have said, if we get rallies, old or new crop, probably better take advantage of them. On this particular point, do you see that producers should take advantage of the rallies, both in the corn and the soybeans?
You know, we're going to be a little bit patient in the corn here. It's not a real attractive level, but, you know, when we're up here above around the 950 level for new crop corn, new crop beans, we've been doing some options where we're maybe buying a 940 put, selling a 1040 call, and maybe an 840 put, and giving us over $9 cash price, but guaranteeing it with a dollar upside left in there. So that was one of the things that we did today.
All right. And then what else have we got in the marketplace that we have to discuss for the afternoon?
Well, I think, you know, the Brazilian currency continued to rebound a little bit on the idea that they're going to probably have impeachment proceedings against the president down there. I don't know that sticking the vice president in that's supposed to have the same sort of connections with Petrobras down there, whether that's a good thing or not, but it has strengthened that as we go along the way. So I think the Brazilian currency strengthening a little bit. And of course, the crude oil continues to strengthen on the idea that the Arab nations are going to get together and put a freeze on their production, and I think that has helped the crude oil. You know, we're trading 42.20 here on the May crude oil as we talk, and that's up $1.83, and that's been up probably about $5 over the last week. So that idea of them freezing their production has been very beneficial to the crude oil.
Hey, thanks so much, Wayne. We'll talk to you this afternoon for Commodity Week. We're going to record early because, well, I'm taking the rest of the week off. Look forward to talking to you at 3 o'clock.
All right, we'll see you then.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, over 300 members of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, or NCBA, will be in Washington this week for their annual legislative conference. NCBA has long been a proponent of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. At the conference, members will hear from U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman about where the agreement stands and what they might be able to do to help it across the finish line. NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs Colin Woodall says pushing for the agreement will be NCBA's top priority at this week's conference.
We have a great opportunity here to have our members who know firsthand what is happening to us with the loss of money that we're seeing by not having TPP in place, especially in the Japanese market, and to be able to tell that story firsthand to the members of Congress is extremely important. We know that until TPP is signed and in place, we're going to continue to have almost a 40% tariff on our product, and because of that, we're going to continue to lose market access to Australia. So to be able to be here in town, work with the U.S. Trade Representative to deliver that message is going to be extremely helpful, I believe, for our efforts.
NCBA was one of more than 225 agricultural groups to send a letter to Congress on Monday, calling on House and Senate leaders to work toward TPP approval for this year. Let's move now from livestock to row crop. Our producers may soon find themselves under even greater pressure to tighten their belts as new crop prices are set to drop even further. That according to Chicago's Ag Resource. They predicted recently that new crop corn could fall to $2.80 a bushel by the fall. New crop soybeans may tumble to $7.60 or close to 10 years low, according to Ag Resource. Producers are already cutting back on purchases of new seed traits, fertilizer, and equipment. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson suggests the current price crisis may call for even more extreme measures.
What the general public frequently doesn't understand about farming is that when we see commodity markets, the prices for the stuff that they raise, produce on their farms fall in half, fall by 50%. That immediately puts most farms into deep negative net income positions.
Johnson says the bottom line is that if farmers work in the present depressed price environment, they'll lose money. That will affect everyone up and down the supply chain. American Farm Bureau chief economist Bob Young says with prices continuing to sink, some producers might want to switch land to other crops or even pasture.
I think we're given where some cattle prices are at the moment, there might be some incentive for folks to look at some of that, and certainly in some of the more fringe areas where yields aren't quite as great, you might very well want to think about taking some of that land and putting it back into alfalfa or something along those lines.
Net farm income has plummeted 55% since 2013 and is forecast to be at its lowest point since 2002. Belt tightening, a strong USDA safety net, and lender flexibility is helping most producers weather the low prices. However, the longer the low prices continue, the harder those measures will get. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the second weekly crop progress report for the growing season. It showed 4% of the corn crop had been planted. Traders were expecting that number to be 2%, but that 4% in the 18 reporting states is exactly the same as the rolling five-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop is now said to be 35% fair, 48% good, and 8% excellent. Those numbers were 34, 49, and 10 last week. And that 48 and 8 are actually much better than the previous year condition of 35 and 7 for the good to excellent categories. Now, here are statisticians from Illinois and Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending April 10, 2016. High winds and frequent showers kept many Iowa producers out of their fields during the week. Statewide, there were 3.1 days suitable for field work, with West Central and Southwest Iowa both having the most days suitable at 4.7. Field activities included anhydrous and manure applications, and farmers were also getting equipment ready for planting as they waited for warmer weather. Topsoil moisture levels rated 3% short, 84% adequate, and 13% surplus, while subsoil moisture levels rated 1% short, 87% adequate, and 12% surplus. 30% of the state's expected oat acreage has been planted, 2 days behind the 5-year average. Oat emergence at 3% as of April 10th was equal to last year, but almost a week behind normal. Pasture condition rated 93% fair or better, although the cold conditions have kept pasture growth to a minimum. Overall, livestock conditions were described as good, and calving season has been going well for most producers, but constant moisture has been a challenge for some. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Greg Tayson reporting.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 10th. Illinois temperatures were well below normal last week, and so was precipitation. The statewide average temperature for the week was more than 6 degrees below normal. Rainfall averaged slightly more than 1/2 inch across the state, which was 17/100 of an inch below normal precip for the week. There was an average of only 2.4 days suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated as 2% short, 74 adequate, and 24% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 3% short, 82 adequate, and 15% surplus. Soil temperatures range from the upper 30s in northern Illinois to the mid-40s in southern Illinois. Producers were able to plant some corn last week. Overall, 2% of the state's acres have been planted, compared to 6% for the 5-year average for April 10. Oats planting advanced 19 points to 32% finished, compared to 30% 1 year ago and 45% normally. 1% of the winter wheat crop has headed, compared to 3% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 6% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 66% good to excellent, slightly worse than 1 week ago. Pasture conditions were reported as 5% poor, 22% fair, 56% good, and 17% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending April 10, 2016. Field activities for the week included spreading manure, applying anhydrous and fertilizer, and tilling fields. However, below normal temperatures and intermittent precipitation limited field activities across Minnesota, with only 1.7 days suitable for field work during the week. Low soil temperatures prevented widespread planting of small grains also. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 1% very short, 12% short, 77% adequate, and 10% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 1% very short, 9% short, 82% adequate, and 8% surplus. 8% of Minnesota's oat acreage has been planted. That's 5 days behind the 5-year average, but only 3 days behind last year. There were scattered reports of barley and spring wheat being planted, except in the northern part of the state. Pasture conditions were rated 4% very poor, 16% poor, 44% fair, 35% good, and 1% excellent. Respondents reported pastures as either still dormant or just starting to green up. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 10, 2016. Farmers were kept out of the fields most of this week due to a continuation of very cold and wet weather. The statewide average temperature for the week was 46.4 degrees, 6.5 degrees below normal. Several fields continued to be oversaturated with moisture, leading to ponding in low-lying areas. Although there were some reports of drought out in winter wheat fields, 79% of the crop remains in good to excellent condition. The cold temperatures have slowed the growth progress for wheat, but any crop damage from the cold snap remains unclear at this time. Pastures remain green, but many are also too muddy from the recent rains for livestock. Otherwise, livestock remains in good condition. Growth of hay fields has also slowed down from the cold and wet weather. Farmers focused on other activities this week, such as working on machinery, fixing tie lines, hauling grain, calving, preparing farm equipment for spring plantings, and enrolling in 2016 FSA programs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 10, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Let's check now the agricultural energy segment, as we do each and every Tuesday. Stephen Platt is with us. He's from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this price rise we've had in crude oil and what it really means. We're at, $42 now. Wasn't so long ago that we were down as low as $26, $27 a barrel.
Correct. And just about a year and a half ago, when we were up toward 90. So we've covered a lot of ground in that time period, certainly the market being buffeted by a lot of different factors right now in terms of not only the economic and global economic outlook, but also talk that OPEC is finally getting their act together, in which they want to maybe curb production. That is only limited number of members who are supporting such a move, and it's still rather doubtful on how committed those members are. Iran has indicated they will not participate in terms of curbing their production, having been sanctioned here over the past few years, which has basically held back their production considerably, and they're only now starting to expand that production to any significant degree. But I think overall that has been actually slower than many people thought. Saudi Arabia and Russia has indicated that they might be entertaining a curb to their production, but at the same time you have to recognize their production had reached levels where it was doubtful it could have gone a lot higher given the price structure of the market and the weak price structure at that. So overall, I guess this meeting, which takes place on Sunday, is certainly important. It will give some cues on whether the producers are scared enough that they are moving towards some kind of price agreement. But that will take time, and you'll need more participation from Iran in order to get additional commitments out of some of the other producers.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking so much time with us this afternoon.
My pleasure, and have a great day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Just a reminder, I'll be out of the office for the rest of the week, but we have some great shows for you on tap on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Licorice Day. The use of licorice roots dates back to at least the time of the pharaohs. Licorice roots were discovered in the tomb of King Tut. The root is 25 times sweeter than sugar and was brought to the New World by the English. It's also Feast of St. Zeno of Verona, patron of anglers and fishermen, and it's Corn Festival Day in Guatemala. On this day in agricultural history in 1831, Granville Dodge was born. An American civil engineer, He was responsible for much of the railroad construction in the western and southwestern U.S. during the 19th century, including the Union Pacific Railroad. In 1838, John Shaw Billings was born, an American surgeon and librarian. His organization of U.S. medical institutions played a central role in the modernization of hospital care and public health. It was he who was responsible for creating the New York Public Library to advance medical knowledge. In 1988, the first U.S. patent on an animal life form was issued to Harvard scientists for a genetically engineered mouse. In 1989, the USSR issued ration cards for sugar due to shortages. And in 2001, Maryland banned the farming of genetically modified fish in any waters linked to any other bodies of water. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is now here to take a look at the weather forecast. Looks like it should be better for the end of the week in the Midwest, and farmers might be able to plant. Temperatures are going to start to come up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, we are going to be looking at all of the weather bottled up in the nation's midsection to areas to the west of the Corn Belt, and that in turn is going to allow southerly winds to develop and bring in some pretty warm temperatures into the Midwest and Corn Belt coming up, some real springtime conditions. And that's going to really be a situation as well that at least in the short term, the heavier precipitation will stay either to the south or west. So the opportunity to get out in those fields is looking better and better.
The south would be okay, I suppose, though they've been pretty wet in the Delta. If you could make it the southwest, I think the wheat producers would be happier.
Well, they are going to be very happy. There is going to be a very significant, slow-moving spring storm that's going to be developing this weekend in the Great Basin and Rockies. And right now, it's indicating that this system could get what we call closed off, meaning it gets detached from the jet stream and sort of meanders in the western high plains. And this is going to be a very good producer of precipitation for Kansas, Oklahoma, all of Texas. Through Nebraska, through the Rockies, and then all the way maybe into the Dakotas. So the middle of the nation is going to be wet, and this will be the best rain producer that the winter wheat areas have seen in a long time, so there's good news for those folks.
Look forward into next week. What with producers in Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, the heart of the Corn Belt Sea?
Well, they're going to see some of the weather that's going to be bottled up in the western areas move eastward. So the chances of rain towards the early to middle portions of next week do get a little bit higher, especially in the western Corn Belt. And I do see that as we get into the middle to the end of next week, the central and eastern Corn Belt, it doesn't look a little cold, but it looks like some shower and thunderstorm activity.
Let's turn our attention to South America, Brazil in particular. Mato Grosso, those areas that would produce the second crop corn, they do go dry. That's a normal function of their regular seasonal patterns. However, they're concerned that they've gone dry early, and that may cause a problem for a corn crop that is in the middle of sulking there.
Well, it is looking dry in Brazil. There's not a lot of rain in the growing areas of Brazil until maybe later in the forecast. This will be towards the middle to the end of next week. Short term, next 5 days, Argentina is going to be getting most of the rain.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just a reminder, I'll be out of the office for the rest of the week, but we have some great programming on tap. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be joined by Scott Irwin. He will discuss a brand new article that he and Daryl Good penned. Actually, it's about the brand new forecast price model models that they developed for corn and soybeans. And if you go to the FarmDoc Daily website tomorrow, you'll be able to see the actual forecast for the 2016-17 growing season. That's not up yet, but it will be tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Emerson Nafziger will be here to talk about the beginning of the growing season. He'll discuss planting dates for corn and soybeans and how much nitrogen is left after the warm and wet winter season.